Our Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. There is no confusion in any heart. Rather, we enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. It says, "And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues." Hallelujah. Okay, ministry of helps, right? Okay, so we began a teaching in the first service, exploring God's word on who exactly the ministry of helps are. Amen. Or who exactly ministers of helps are. Praise the Lord. Okay, we saw quite a number of things. We said in the first service that God's men need men. Remember that? God's men need faithful men. Praise the Lord. In their service to the Lord. God's men need faithful men in their service to the Lord. We see in Acts chapter 6 where, you know, the apostles, the 12, were in charge of distribution of food, right, and resources in the early church. You see that in Acts chapter 4. Okay, then after a while, the church grew, okay, continued to grow and expand, okay, and more responsibility came upon the apostles, so much so that they began to have issues with that job, right, of distributing resources. You know, the apostles would do that and also be in charge of praying, right? They would also preach. Okay, so they needed additional help, you know, in that story. And we see what the apostles did there by the wisdom of God. Okay, they choose men to appoint over that business. Remember that? Okay, men full of wisdom and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so those men came in to take up that role, that responsibility in place of the apostles. And immediately that happened, what? The word of God spread. Praise the Lord. Okay, their impact increased because additional help had now come. Okay, so we see that where men of God have additional help, what happens? The work thrives. Praise the Lord. Okay, whereby he's not the only one doing everything, okay, within that work. And we said that wisdom of the apostles in choosing men is actually gotten from the Old Testament. Remember that? Okay, we saw Exodus chapter 18. Okay, you know that Moses there was judging the people from morning till evening, right? Okay, and then his father-in-law, a very wise man, right, looks at him, tells him that what you're doing is not good. You wear yourself out and you worry the same people. Okay, then he advises Moses, he says, get additional help. Praise the Lord. Get additional help. And Moses obeyed the voice of Jethro, okay, and he appointed men, right, various men over various groups of people, hundreds of tens, right, hundreds of thousands, hundreds of hundreds, hundreds of 10,000s, okay, so that Moses too could rest. Praise the Lord. Okay, you know, Moses lived to 120 years, right? Okay, you know, he wouldn't have lived that long. Do you know that? Okay, if he had continued doing that. He wouldn't have lived that long. Okay? So he lived that long because he had help. Praise the Lord. Is that clear? Okay, so his life wasn't shortened. Okay, he also had time to rest. Okay, as the case may be. Okay, then in the last service, we also look through the entirety of the Old Testament. Very, very exhaustive. Remember that? We look through the entirety of the Old Testament, okay, to see examples of the ministry of helps there. Okay, whereby men helped other men to fulfill God's plan for their lives. That's what you should look out for. You follow that in the Old Testament. You know, when you say, is the ministry of helps in the Old Testament? Don't go to the Old Testament and look for ministry of helps. Okay, that particular phrase. Look for where men helped other men fulfill God's plan for their life. That is the ministry of helps in the Old Testament. Do you get it? Okay, so we saw all of that, you know, throughout the Old Testament, and we saw various expressions of that. Remember that? Okay, it can be expressed in various ways. This ministry, okay, we saw that the ministry of helps can be expressed in physical labor, physical work, right? whereby you use your skills to serve. Praise the Lord. You know, it's like today, you know, you're in church and you know that church needs a guitarist, right? Okay, and you know you're good in that area, then volunteer. Praise the Lord. Okay, you know you're very good in playing the keyboard, okay, then volunteer. Praise the Lord. You're very good in interior designs, okay, volunteer in that place. Do you get it? Okay, using your skills to serve. And you observe that those people who served didn't collect any pay, right? They did it, they volunteered, okay, themselves to that work free of charge. Okay, so the people will come together and build the temple. Remember, I was all of that. They will come together, clean the temple, build the temple together without pay. Praise the Lord. You know, it's just like today we have, probably we get a piece of land and want to erect a structure for church. Okay, we want to have a permanent church venue. Okay, and then we all come together, praise the Lord, and we pack sand. Right? I say, Pastor, do you know my anointing? Do you know the grace upon my life? Amy, pack sand. You get it? But that was what was done, right, in the Old Testament. Okay, they will come together, you know, just walk together while the man of God is also preparing. Okay, preparing his nose, right? Praying, right? The church members will come together and do that. Nothing wrong with that. Praise the Lord. And it's just because of the 21st century mentality that we have, that we just feel like, why should I? Can't we get laborers? Do you get it? Okay, so, you know, that is what we find, the pattern we find, you know, even right from the Old Testament. We also saw that the ministry of helps can be expressed in giving. Praise the Lord. Amen. Giving materially, giving of your substance, okay, to the work of God committed to a man of God. You see that severally. You see that with the Shunammite woman, right? You see that with that widow of Zarephath, okay, who gave to Elijah, I know, as the case may be, on and on and on and on and on like that. Okay, then also we saw that that ministry can be expressed via publicity, right? Whereby you make another one known to the world. Praise the Lord. Okay, you make another one known, another one's work known to others. You see that in Genesis chapter 41, right? With that butler in Egypt. Okay, you know that butler actually was an help to Joseph, right? Okay, you know, when Joseph, if I was Joseph, you know, once I get to, you know, being governor, the ruling one in Egypt, you know, I would reward that guy. Do you follow that? Okay, because Joseph got there because of him. Do you follow that? Okay, he let Pharaoh know about him. Okay, so you can help the ministry of others that way by publicizing, letting it known. Praise the Lord. Okay, to others. Then also, and most importantly, in loyalty. Amen. Loyalty. That is how the ministry of helps can be expressed. Loyalty. I mean, we see that with David's mighty men. Okay, those men who stuck with him through thick and thin. Praise the Lord. Okay, you know, he had nothing, yet they came to meet him in the wilderness. Think about that. Okay, they came to meet him in the wilderness and said, we are yours. Praise the Lord. Okay, whatever you need us to do, we will do. I know it wasn't lip service. Okay, they actually meant it. I remember we saw that, right? They got him water. He didn't ask them to ride. He just stated his desire. And they went through an army. They got him water. And they fought back and they brought it to him. To make matters worse, he didn't drink it. Praise the Lord. Okay, and they didn't strike him there and there. Say, you are a wicked man. No. They still stuck with him. Praise the Lord. Loyalty. Praise. Say, I'm a loyal man. Say, I'm a loyal man. Come on. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that is loyalty. You see the same thing with his servants, right? When Absalom tried to kill him, right? They all went together with him. Think about that. You know, they would have gained favor from Absalom by staying with him, right? Because he had taken over Jerusalem. But they rather followed the Lord's anointed into the wilderness. You know, when you read all of these stories, just picture it in your mind. Do you follow that? This actually happened. So they went with him into the wilderness, where they didn't have probably inconvenience, right? Yeah. Probably not enough food, not enough water. You know, they probably would sleep in on the bare ground. These were men who were living in the king's quarters just a few days ago. Yet they left. That is loyalty. Say, I'm a loyal man. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we kind of left off there in the Old Testament, okay, just looking through God's word there, you know, as touching this ministry. So in this service, we move on quickly into the New Testament. Are you ready? Okay, the New Testament. So we want to see the ministry of helps in the four Gospels. The ministry of helps in the four Gospels. Now look at Luke 16, verse 12. Are you ready? Okay, Luke 16, verse 12. I want to see this, okay? Luke 16, verse 12. It says, "And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own?" Come on, did you see that? Let's read that again. "And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own?" Do you see that? Okay, so faithfulness or loyalty would be to stay with a person or a cause till the very end. Okay, that is faithfulness or loyalty. To stay with a person or to a cause till the very end. No turning back. Okay, and this is necessary as a church worker. Okay, God's men need helpers who would help them do all that God would have them do. Now, there's a word used in the Greek to describe this. Now, it's the word diakoneo. Diakoneo. That's D-I-A-K-O-N-E-O. D-I-A-K-O-N-E-O is the verb form of diakonos. D-I-A-K-O-N-O-S. D-I-A-K-O-N-O-S. So that would be the noun. You get it? Diakonos would be the noun of diakoneo, the verb. Now, diakonos means deacon. You get it? Or minister. Now, diakoneo refers to that act of caring for the needs of others. Caring for the needs of others in an active, practical way. That word literally means to raise up dust with your feet. Okay? To raise up dust with your feet as you run errands. You know, the Middle East was very dusty, right? So, as the diakonos rushed from place to place to diakoneo, do you get it? To serve, they kicked up dust with their feet. You follow that? That's why that word is used that way. To raise up dust with the feet. So this word literally means you are constantly on the move. Do you follow that? Constantly on the move, quickly, from place to place, from place to place, in service of others, in service to others. Okay? So it is to actively serve. Diakoneo. To raise up dust with the feet. Do you get it? Okay, you're moving here and there, here and there, here and there, here and there, doing things quickly in service for another. Now, let's see this. Let's see ministers of help in Jesus' ministry. Ministers of help in Jesus' ministry. Now, let me say this to you, that Jesus was not a superman in ministry. Amen? Jesus was not a superman in ministry. You know, there are some people who think that Jesus had his needs provided for supernaturally. Okay, so Jesus just wakes up in the morning and says, "Bread appear." Follow that? Then it appears supernaturally. He wakes up, he says, "Bread appear." Then it appears supernaturally. No, that is not the case at all. Jesus actually enjoyed the ministry of helps. Praise the Lord. Okay, look at Matthew 27, verse 55. Matthew 27, verse 55. It says, "And many women," underline that, "many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him," underline that, "ministering to him, were there looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons." You see that? So Jesus had women who ministered to him. Now that will refer to his needs. Okay, his physical needs. They provided him with food, clothing, and shelter. So Jesus had the ministry of helps in his own ministry. Come on, do you see that there? Look at Mark 15, verse 40. Similarly there, Mark 15, verse 40. It says, "There were also women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph, and Salome, who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee." Underline that, minister to him when he was in Galilee. Minister here means to serve. Do you get it? To meet one's needs. So they ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. So they ministered to Jesus. Same word. You see that there? Okay, you see that Luke gives us further insight on this. Look at Luke 8, 1 or 3. Most times it's good to read the four Gospels together, okay, to get the full picture. Look at Luke 8, 1-3. Luke 8:1-3. It says, "Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom, had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from what? Their substance." Underline that. Who provided for him from their substance. Come on, did you see that? Okay, so Jesus was not a superman in ministry. Jesus was not eating manna. Okay, or summoning clothes from the spirit. No. Okay, people actually gave to him. They aided his earthly ministry. Okay, they helped him. Do you see that there? Okay, these people cooked his meals. Look at John 12:1-8. They actually cooked food for him. John 12:1-8, okay? It says, "Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead." There, now look at this. They made him what? A supper. Underline that. They made him a supper, and Martha served. Underline that. Martha served. But Lazarus, who was one of those who sat at the table with him, okay? Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, okay, anointed the feet of Jesus, underline that, from anointed to Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Now one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This is said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, okay, and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone." Come on, do you see that? "She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." See that? So they prepared him a meal and poured expensive ointment on him. That is how they helped him here. Do you get it? Okay, so Jesus had helpers who got him food after meetings. Come on, did you see that there? They will get him food, they will prepare meals for him after meetings. So you see that the minister of help takes initiative. Okay, the minister of help takes initiative. You don't have to be told everything. Okay, the minister of the gospel needs food. He's not a superman. You know, for example, here, you know, after a meeting, you know, you don't need to ask if the minister is hungry. Do you get it? We have a special meeting, you know, and after the meeting, the minister preaches from morning till evening. Okay, and you still need to ask, "Sir, please, are you hungry? Can we get you food?" Ah, you know, you should know. Do you follow that? You get him something to eat. See John 4. Okay, this ministry involves what? Taking initiative. What did I say? Taking initiative. You don't have to be told. Look at John 4:5. Hallelujah. John 4:5. It says, "So he there being Jesus, came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there." Now look at this. "Jesus therefore, being wearied from his journey," underline that, being wearied from his journey. Weary there means tired. Okay? "Sat tossed by the well." It was about the 6th hour. 7 says, "A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.'" Now look at 8. "For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food." Come on. You see that? Online from his to food, okay? So his disciples had gone away to buy food. They knew he would be hungry, right? After such a long journey. That is taking initiative. Do you get it? They didn't need to be told. You take that initiative. Okay? So Jesus had ministers of helps. Do you see that? He had his own ministers of helps. These men ushered for him in meetings. Okay? You see that when he fed the 5,000, right? John 6:11. Let's see that. They actually ushered for him. You know, Jesus had ushers. Praise the Lord. Look at John 6:11. It says, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to" who? The people? No. He distributed them to the disciples. Underline that. From distributor to disciples, okay? And the disciples to those sitting down. Underline that. The disciples to those sitting down. And likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. You see that? So he gave it to the disciples. Then their disciples gave it to what? The people. Okay, so they would distribute things on his behalf. Imagine Jesus alone distributing the food. That is 5,000 men minus women and their children, right? Okay, now imagine just Jesus doing all of that. Do you see? So he had helpers. Praise the Lord. Okay, you see that Peter helped him pay his taxes. Amen. Peter helped Jesus pay his taxes. Matthew 17, verse 24. Matthew 17, verse 24. It says, when they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax said to Peter, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? He said, yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes, from their sons or from strangers? Peter said to him, from strangers. Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you've opened his mouth, you will find a piece of money. Now look at this. Take that. Underline that. Take that and give it to them for what? Me and you. Underline that. For me and you. Today, that's like going to the bank, right? And queuing to pay money for pastor. Come on, do you get it? Or you go to the ATM, right? You queue there, pastor sends you, right? Get this for me. That's what's happening here. Come on, do you see that? Or you go to the bank for pastor to lodge a complaint at the bank. You go to lodge a complaint for pastor. That's what is happening here. You get it? So he helped Jesus in that way. Not only that, his disciples also organized transportation for him. Okay? Look at Matthew 21 verse 1. Matthew 21 verse 1. They were in charge of his transportation. Matthew 21 verse 1. It says, now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. See that? And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. You see that? Today that is like getting pastor's car ready. Come on. Okay, for a teaching engagement, okay? Or let's say we are traveling there, you go and get the plane ticket ready. Come on. Okay, or the taxi ready, as the case may be. Look at verses 6 to 7. It says, so the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt. Now look at this. Laid their clothes on them. See that? Underline that, okay? Laid their clothes on them and set him on them. Today, that's like cleaning the car pastor will use. Okay? Preparing the vehicle for the journey. You check the oils. Do you see the parallel? You check the oils of the car, the plugs, ensure that everything is fine in the car that pastor will use for the journey. You find similarly in Mark chapter 3. Mark 3 verse 9. Mark 3:9. It says, so he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him. Underline that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. You see that? So they were in charge of his transportation. Do you see that there? Okay, now not only that, his disciples would also go and prepare the venue for his meetings. Amen. Look at Luke 22 verse 7. Hallelujah. Luke 22 verse 7. It says, then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed, and he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat. You see that? Online from go to eat, okay? So they said to him, where do you want us to prepare? And he said to them, behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest house where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. Underline that. From hour to room, okay? There, make ready. Underline that. Make ready. So they found and went. So they went and found it as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Underline that. They prepared the Passover. It's like today, you know, we're having a special meeting, okay? And then pastor sends you to find a suitable oil in UI. right? It says, go and look around. Okay, where can we use? Okay, then when you do, you arrange the place, right? You arrange the chairs, you clean the place, you set up sound. That's what is happening here. Do you get it? Okay, so Jesus wasn't doing everything by himself. Come on, do you see that there? He wasn't doing everything alone. Okay, the menial tasks were taken up by the ministers of helps. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the apostles, before they became apostles, were found faithful in service. Do you see that there? Okay, doing menial tasks. Come on, did you see that? Buying food, cleaning the venue. Come on, okay? Cleaning pastor's car. Doing all of that before they became apostles. So you see that, and that is why Jesus thought that greatness is in service. Praise the Lord. Greatness is in service. Look at Matthew 20:24. And when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be what? Your servant. Underline that. From whoever to servant. And whoever desires to be first, underline that, whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Underline that, let him be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give himself, to give his life a ransom for many. Hallelujah. Okay, so in the kingdom of God, the great ones are the servant ones. Praise the Lord. Okay, in the kingdom of God, the great ones are the servant ones. You see that Jesus enjoyed the ministry of helps even at his death. Okay, it didn't stop in his life. Even when he died, okay, you see that they came together to plan his burial, right? Luke 23, you see that there? Luke 23:50. Okay, he says, now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good man and just man. He had not consented to their decision and deed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Underline from asked to Jesus, okay? Then he took it, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever laid before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And look at 55. And the women, underline that, the women. Remember these same women that were with him, right, during his lifetime, who had come with him from Galilee, followed after. And they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. 56 says, then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oil. So they anointed his body. You get it? Today that's embalming, okay? Okay, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. So you see that these men were helpful to Jesus till the very end. So they were faithful. Do you see that? So you see Jesus had men. Amen. Okay, faithful men. So Jesus wasn't doing everything alone. Praise the Lord. He had faithful men. He enjoyed the ministry of helps. Praise the Lord. Okay, now it doesn't stop there. Now let's see the ministry of helps in Acts. Are you learning so far? All right, thank you. The ministry of helps in Acts, the book of Acts. And you see that the apostles too had ministers of helps in their ministries. We saw Acts 6 earlier, right? The deacons in Acts 6. Let's see that again. Acts 6:1. Acts 6:1. It says, now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Underline that, serve tables. Okay. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Underline from home to business, that is ministers of help. Come on. Okay, but we, underline that we, the elders, will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. You see that? So the apostles appointed deacons, okay, to reduce their work so they could focus on other things. You see that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul there gives us more qualifications for a deacon. Let's see that 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 to 13. 1 Timothy 3, 8 to 13. It says, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let this also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderous, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. See that? So the office of a deacon is a good work, right? It's a good job. Amen. And do you observe that teaching is not one of their qualifications? Did you spot that there? Teaching is not one of their qualifications or tasks. Okay? So the deacons are those who carry out non-teaching roles in the church. Do you get it now? Okay, they carry out non-teaching roles in the church. So that would include sweeping the church, right? Distributing materials, right? Ushering, setting up sound, okay? In fact, buying water for the pastor, right? Getting his meals, okay? So those will be the deacons within the church. Non-teaching roles, non-teaching tasks. Do you get it? Okay, the next here, bullet point, Joseph. Acts 4:36. Joseph, okay? It says, and Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having learned, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. You see that? So he actually sold his landed property to meet the needs of the church. What a man. Think about that. It's like today we say, okay, in church we need 300K. Okay? And then there's this guy that says, okay, pastor, I have a land. Do you get it? Can I sell it and then I bring the proceeds to the church? That was Joseph. Okay, so Joseph was an helper to the apostles. Praise the Lord. You see, he's nicknamed son of encouragement, right? By the apostles. A source of joy. Praise the Lord. Okay, that was Joseph or Barnabas. Okay, you see that this same Barnabas is mentioned in Acts 11, verse 24. Now observe how he's described. Acts 11:24. It says, for he was a good man. Come on. Underline that, okay? A good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Hallelujah. Underline that, okay? Full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. You see that when the early church desired to send relief to Judea during famine, you know, they sent it by the hands of Saul and Barnabas, right? Acts 11:27-30. Let's see that. Acts 11:27-30. It says, and in these days prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. And look at 29. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. These they also did and sent to the elders by the hands of who? Barnabas and Saul. You see that? Like that, okay? Barnabas and Saul. So there, Barnabas and Saul served as what? Ministers of help. Come on, did you spell that? In that regard, they took the resources, okay, the relief to Judea during the famine. The next bullet point here, Simon the Tanner. Simon the Tanner. Acts 9:42-43. Acts 9:42-43. It says, and it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon a Tanner. You see that there? Okay, he there is Peter, okay? So see that after raising Dorcas from the dead, Peter stayed with one Simon a Tanner. You know, he probably didn't have any place to stay, right? So Simon offered. Do you get it? So Simon helped in that regard. Okay, he met that need. Praise the Lord. Okay, next bullet point here. The saints cook for Peter. The saints cook for Peter. Acts 10:9-10. Acts 10:9-10. It says, the next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, underline that, while they made ready, he fell into a trance. You know, he's still at Simon's house here. Okay, so at Simon's house, they made food for him. Do you spot that there? Okay, so they didn't assume that giving him lodging was enough. They said, we're giving you a house already. Do you get it? Okay, they also provided his meals. Praise the Lord. Okay, help us. Next bullet point here, the saints pray for Peter. Acts 12:5. The saints pray for Peter. Acts 12:5. It says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Underline that, okay? By the church. So you see here that when Peter was arrested, prayers were made for him, right? By the church. So you see that ministers need prayers as well. Praise the Lord. Okay? The next bullet point here, John the Helper. John the Helper. Acts 13:4-5. As you read this, remember, let the narratives paint a picture in your mind. Do you get it? Of what exactly the ministry of helps entails. Look at Acts 13:4-5. It says, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus, and when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Underline that. As their assistant. The word assistant here means helper. Amen? Helper. Huperetes in the Greek. H-U-P-R-E-T-E-S. H-U-P-R-E-T-E-S. Okay, the E after P, accentuated. The E after T, also accentuated. The E after P accentuated. The E after T also accentuated. Okay. So John assisted Barnabas and Paul. You see that there? In ministry, he was an helper to them. Okay. He was a minister of help. The next bullet point here. Timothy and Erastus. Timothy and Erastus. Acts 19:21-22. Acts 19:21-22. Okay, when these things were accomplished, Paul proposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him. Underline that, two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus. You see that? Timothy and Erastus. And he stayed himself in Asia for a time. So you see that Timothy and Erastus ministered to Paul, right? Okay, that's that same word we saw earlier on diakoneo. Okay, to run errands, right? To raise dust, remember that word? Okay, with your feet. Okay, so to run errands for quickly. So you see that the saints helped their leaders in Acts. You see that there? Okay, in various ways. Alright, by taking up responsibility, right? By providing them with lodging, right? Food. Okay, by praying for them, by running errands, okay, and so on and so forth. So we find the ministry of helps in the book of Acts. Is that clear? Okay, now let's move on quickly to the epistles. Praise the Lord. The epistles. Let's see the ministry of helps in the epistles. So this can be another subheading for you, okay? The ministry of helps in the epistles. First bullet point here, praying for leaders. Amen. Praying for leaders. One of the ways we can help our leaders is by praying for them. Praise the Lord. Okay, you see that the Apostle Paul often asked the saints to pray for their leaders. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:25. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. It says, brethren, pray for us. See that? Align that, okay? Pray for us. See 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2. 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us. Underline that, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. You see, the writer of Hebrews 2 use the same phrase, Hebrews 13:18. Hebrews 13, verse 18. It says, pray for us. Underline that. Pray for us. For we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. 19 says, but I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. You see that? Okay. Now, the us in these texts are your spiritual leaders. Praise the Lord. Okay. Your spiritual leaders. So you are to keep them in your prayer. See, my spiritual leaders are to be kept in my prayers. Okay, look at 2 Corinthians 1:9. 2 Corinthians 1:9. It says, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from such great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also, now look at this, helping together in prayer for us. Underline that. Helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Look at Romans 15, verse 30. Romans 15:30. It says, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. Do you see that? Okay, underline from that to me, okay? That I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God, and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. You see that? Okay, so Paul instructs the churches to help him in prayer. He instructs the churches to help him in prayer. Just as he prayed for them, they too were to pray for him. So you see that in leadership, prayer is not one-sided, right? The leadership prays for you. You pray for the leadership. Hallelujah. Look at Colossians 4:2-4. Colossians 4:2-4. It says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. 3 says, meanwhile, praying also for us. You see that there again? Underline that, okay? Praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word. Underline that, okay? From God to word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. 4 says, that I might make it manifest. Underline that, that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak. Hallelujah. So again, he instructs the church at Colossae to pray for his teaching ministry. You see that there? That he might preach effectively. He repeats the same thing in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's see that. Ephesians 6 verse 18. To 20. Ephesians 6, 18 to 20. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now when the Spirit is tongues. Amen. Okay, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. 19 says, and for me, underline that, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, underline that, utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly, underline, I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly, underline that, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So it is the duty of church members to take out time. Okay, take out time to pray for their pastor's teaching ministry in tongues. You see that there? In the Spirit, in verse 18. So you are not supposed to be told before you do so. You take the initiative. Do you get it? Because you know, I've told you that it is his effectiveness in teaching that will bless you. Okay, if you pray for utterance for your pastor, the right words will be given to him to bless you. Right? Okay, so if you are not praying for your pastor, you are shooting yourself in the foot. You know, I've said that severally. You are shooting yourself in the foot. You see that Paul also speaks to the Philippians on their prayer for him. Let's see that, okay? Philippians 1:19. Philippians 1:19. It says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. Underline that, turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Online from true to Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Now here, Paul is in prison. Okay? This is one of those prison epistles. Okay? And Paul in prison calls their prayer his deliverance. Do you see that there? Okay? His deliverance from prison. So when the saints pray for their leader, they supply the Spirit toward him. You see that there? That is, they send the aid of the Spirit, praise the Lord, okay, his way by so doing. So imagine if we would only pray for our leaders instead of gossiping about them. Think about that. We send the aid of the Spirit to them. Don't you think they will achieve more? Yes. Praise the Lord. You know, there was something that happened a while back, okay, in Nigeria. A very prominent man of God in the country was accused of some sexual misconduct, okay, by a female, alright? So there was a lot of buzz on the social media, you know, as there always is, right? Okay, the social media seems to love such gists, praise the Lord. Okay, and then, you know, folks were saying all sort of things against the man, just talking, you know? And then there was this fellow, okay, who is a member of his church, that man of God. Okay, and you know, this fellow just went on the social media, and I kind of just felt this is some disloyal fellow. Amen. This is some disloyal guy. Just went on social media, and then he's saying things like, "Ah, Pastor, and we know we trust you, but Pastor, please say something now." I kind of went, "What?" He says, "We trust you, Pastor, but please say something now, because we cannot just be following somebody blindly." Ah! The church member. Do you follow that? He said, "Just, ah, Pastor, say something, because the man of God, you know, he stopped talking for a while." Amen. Yeah, obviously, when there are allegations that serious, you step down a bit, right? Okay, you know, face them, then you continue the work. Okay, so he's saying things like, "No, Pastor, say something about this, you know, so that we're not just following you blindly, blah, blah, blah." I said, "Ah!" When I saw this, you know, the person who showed me, I said, "This is an unfaithful fellow, disloyal fellow." Do you follow that? No, if I'm the one, if I'm the pastor, after all the issue is done, I'll send him away. Do you get it? But if they say I'm merciful and I let him remain in the church, I won't have anything to do with him. Nothing at all. It will be a cold day in hell the day he becomes or he has any responsibility in church. We'll keep him far away. That's a disloyal fellow. You know what you should be doing in such situations? Start praying for the man. Right? Come on. Supply the Spirit. The aid of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Okay? Now I've told you, you must never be found speaking ill of ministers of the gospel. Praise the Lord. Okay? That is not your place. You know, you're not his judge. God is. Right? So, know your place. Praise the Lord. Know your place. Okay? You are to pray for them and believe the best in them. Praise the Lord. Okay? Even in their weaknesses. Is that clear? So you don't join the world to discredit your pastor. Protect the vessel that God is using to bless you. Do you get it? Protect him. So you help your pastor this way. Is that clear? Okay? Thank you. The next bullet point here, Paul's helpers in Romans 16. Paul's helpers in Romans 16. Now, in Romans 16, Paul there lists everyone who helped him in ministry. Okay, and amongst them, he mentions Priscilla and Aquila. Praise the Lord. Romans 16, 3 to 4, you see right there. Romans 16, 3 to 4, it says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ, who risked their own necks for my life." You see that? He mentions that online, "risked their own necks for my life. To whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles." So these men were of much help to Paul in ministry. Praise the Lord. See that there? Okay. He also mentions Mary in verse 6 of that same chapter. It says, "Greet Mary who labored much for us." You see that? Labored much. Underline that, okay? The word labored translates the Greek kopio. Okay? K-O-P-I-A-O. K-O-P-I-A-O. The last O is accentuated, which means to toil. T-O-I-L, okay? To toil. To labor till you are exhausted. That is it literally in the Greek. Till you are worn out, depleted. Till you go, ah! That is Mary. Praise the Lord. Okay? So Mary helped Paul till she was fatigued. Come on. Okay, so that is a minister of help. Praise the Lord. Okay, so Paul thanks those who helped him in ministry. So you see, ministers of the gospel don't forget. Get it? Okay, they always remember those who are faithful to them and to their ministries. Is that clear? Okay, the next bullet point here, Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus. 2 Timothy 1:15. 2 Timothy 1:15. It says, "This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." 2 Timothy was his last epistle, final epistle. Okay, so at the end of Paul's life, many people left him. You get it? They deserted him. And look at 16. "The Lord grant mercy on the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me." So this man stayed. Come on. Underline that, okay? "He often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain." Okay? "But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day." So he prays for him. Come on. Okay? "And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me." Underline that. He ministered to me at Ephesus. Hallelujah. Okay? So although everyone abandoned Paul, Onesiphorus often refreshed him. That word means to revive again. That word refresh, okay? To revive again. Anasucho in the Greek. A-N-A-P-S-U-C-H-O. A-N-A-P-S-U-C-H-O. The last O accentuated. Okay, so Onesiphorus gave Paul courage. That's what it means there, okay? He made his heart cheerful again. Praise the Lord. He consoled him in the midst of his afflictions. You know, sometimes the ministry of helps is expressed simply in words. Amen? Just saying kind words to your pastor. Praise the Lord. You say things like, "Pastor, God is with you." Praise the Lord. Okay? "Pastor, ministry prospers in your hands." Praise the Lord. Okay? "Pastor, we are grateful for you, sir. We see, we recognize your labor over us." Words like that go a long way. Praise the Lord. Okay? So that was Onesiphorus to Paul. Okay? He refreshed him. He made him alive again. He made him cheerful again. You get it? Even in his chains. Praise the Lord. Okay, the next point here, Philemon. Philemon. Now, Paul wrote a very small letter called Philemon, right? Okay, and he writes to Philemon, pleading with him to take back Onesimus. Okay, now Onesimus was a servant to Philemon, but he ran away. Then Paul later met Onesimus in prison. Then in prison, Paul got him saved and discipled. You get it? So Paul was sending Onesimus back to Philemon as a brother in Christ. Now observe what Paul says to him, Philemon 1:8. Are you there? Philemon 1:8. He says, "Therefore, though I may be very bold in Christ to commend you to do what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you so I can commend you." That's what Paul is saying there. "I can force you to do what I'm about to ask, but rather I appeal with you." Okay? "Being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ." Do you see that? Okay, look at 10. It says, "I appeal to you for my son Onesimus." Underline that, from I to Onesimus, okay? "Whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was not profitable to you, but now is profitable." Underline that, "now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart." Refers to him that way. See that there? It says, "whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me." Underline that. "Minister to me in my chains for the gospel." So Onesimus became a minister of help to Paul in prison. Come on, do you see that there? Okay, he ministered to Paul's needs in prison. Look at 14. He says, "But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother." Hallelujah. "Especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord." Now observe verse 17 of that same chapter. It says, "If then you count me as a partner," underline that, "you count me as a partner," koinonos in the Greek, that's that word, partner, K-O-I-N-O-N-O-S. K-O-I-N-O-N-O-S. Okay, the O after the first N is accentuated. It means companion. Hallelujah. Companion, friend, one of mutual relationship. Okay, it says, if you count me as a companion, if you count me as a friend, if you count me as one who has a relationship with you, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. You know, when your pastor speaks this way, just forget about it. Do you get it? It says, if he has done anything, put it on my account. You know, you can't do that. So he's telling you, just forget about it. Luke 19. It says, I, Paul, am writing with my own hand, I will repay. You see that? You know, it's not going to allow Paul to repay. Do you get it? Okay? Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self. Come on, do you see that? Besides, or your own life. Do you get it? You owe me your life. Paul tells that to Philemon. Okay? Look at 20. He says, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. And look at 21. Having confidence in your obedience. Hallelujah. Okay? What a statement. Underline that, okay? Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I asked. Underline that, okay? From you to ask. So look at how Paul talks to Philemon. You see his tone, right? His tone is one of assurance and confidence. I'm your pastor, you will hear me. Do you see that? Okay, so he had that confidence in Philemon. He's sure that Philemon would obey his instructions. So the question now is, can your pastor have this same confidence in you? He asks you to do something and he's sure, no, brother, this will carry it out. Sister, that will carry it out. You know, if the answer is no, if you can't genuinely answer that in your heart, then there might be an issue with your faithfulness. Praise the Lord. Okay, but it doesn't stop there. Look at verse 22 also of that same chapter. After asking, right, for that big favor, he asks again, verse 22. He says, but meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me. You follow that? Okay, while I'm asking for things, I might as well add this as well. Okay, prepare a guest room for me. Underline that, okay? For I trust that through your prayers, underline that, your prayers, I shall be granted to you. You see that? So he says, prepare me a guest room and then pray for me. Praise the Lord. So Philemon would help Paul's ministry this way. Okay? By supplying lodging and prayers. You see that? So it will be what? A minister of help in that regard. Praise the Lord. Okay? The next bullet point here, ministers of hospitality in 1 Peter 4. Now see 1 Peter 4, 8. First Peter 4:8. It says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another. Underline that, be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Underline for minister to another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, underline that ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. See that there? Okay, so here Peter speaks of that ministry of helps again. Okay, you see here, he calls it hospitality. Amen. Here, he calls it hospitality, verse 9. Okay, and to minister or to serve, verses 10 and 11. Now, the word minister there is that same word, diakoneo. D-I-A-K-O-N-E-O. D-I-A-K-O-N-E-O. The last O accentuated, it is the ministry of service. Do you follow that? So that word ministry can be understood in various ways. Is that clear? Okay. Here, it is the ministry of service. So the ministry of helps show hospitality. Do you follow that? The ministry of helps shows hospitality to other saints and particularly to the leaders. You see that there? Okay. God expects that the pastors are treated well. Look at Galatians 6:6. Galatians 6:6. He says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. You see that there? Underline that, okay? Share in all good things with him who teaches. Now, the word good things here, it translates the Greek agathos. Okay? A-G-A-T-H-O-S. It means riches. Do you get it? It's not good things in Christ. Amen? Spiritual things. Riches. Goods. That's that word, okay? That is physical possession. So, scripture teaches that when spiritual things are communicated to you in preaching and demonstrations of the Spirit, you have a responsibility. You see that there? To respond back in physical, monetary, tangible things. Okay? So that shows that you value what you've received. Praise the Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:8. Paul says similarly there. 1 Corinthians 9:8. He says, do I say these things as a mere man, or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. You see that? Is it oxen God is concerned about? Come on. Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? On the line that our sakes, that is the elders. Okay? For our sakes, no doubt, it is written that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. For we have sown spiritual things for you. Is it a great thing if we reap your material things? Come on. Underline that, okay? Is it a great thing if we reap your material things? You see that there? Okay? So to not give financially to your pastor is to muzzle an hard-working ox. You see that there? That is, you are using him without pay. That's what that means, okay? Ancient Israel had beast of burdens, right? Those that helped them in agriculture. So those creatures would be used in the farm, right, to clear the ground. Then as they clear the ground, those creatures would also eat. Do you follow that? From what was in the farm. Then, you know what the Jews did? They covered the mouth. They put a muzzle there. They gagged the mouth. Don't eat. Then God says, no, don't do that. Do you get it? Let the hard working ox also eat. Okay, don't gag his mouth as it works. Then Paul applies that same text to the elders amongst us. Do not muzzle them. Do you get it? Okay, as they work, ensure they also eat. Ensure they are well taken care of. Is that clear? Okay, look at verse 13 of that same chapter. It says, do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat all the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? And these are the priests and the Levites, right? You know, the sacrifices were for the priests and the Levites. Do you know that? They ate those sacrifices. Okay? So they partook, amen, of the offerings of the altar. And look at 14. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should what? Live from the gospel. Clear? Clear? Underline that. Should live from the gospel. So the pastor's needs should be met by the saints. Put should in capital letters. This is the norm. Do you follow that? The norm is that the pastor's needs should be met by the saints. It's their duty, it is right. Come on. It's their duty, it is right. So it's my duty to meet the needs of my pastor. You see that there? Very clear. He who preaches the gospel should live from the same. That should be the norm. Do you follow that there? Okay. So you see there that an expression of the ministry of helps is to be financially responsible to your pastor. Right? Financially responsible towards your pastor. Do not use the hard working ox while you muzzle him. You get it? Okay. The next bullet point here, honor. As long as you're in this church, you keep hearing about this. Praise the Lord. Because Basel Church saints are saints of honor. Praise the Lord. Okay, we love to honor in this church. That's we love it a lot. Okay? Honor. Now the epistles teach honor for our spiritual leaders. Amen. The epistles teach us to honor our spiritual leaders. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 7. Hebrews 13, verse 7. It says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. So you see that there are those who rule over, right? So that means we are not all the same in the local church, right? Okay, some are advanced in rank, priority, and responsibility, right? Now what are you to do towards such ones? Verse 17. It says obey. Underline that. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Underline that. Be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Do you see that? So obey them and be submissive. So always recognize your pastor's office. Praise the Lord. That's what that means. Always recognize your pastor's office. That's how he will keep blessing you. Do you get it? That's how he will keep blessing you. So honor is seen in overt actions. You know I've said that, right? Honor is seen in overt actions. Honor is not honor until it is expressed. Have you seen some who call their pastors by their first name? You know, it shouldn't be. Do you know that? I say, Mark, how are you doing? You know, it shouldn't be, even if you are close to him. Do you follow that? I know this is hard, you know, particularly in a school environment, right? You know, some people just feel like, how can I be calling my classmate pastor? Right? You know, such a thinking is quite funny to me. Quite funny. You know, Sir Chelsea, right? Okay, back in school, you know, university days, you know, we're in the same year in UI Law, and I was a pastor then. Do you get it? And when we are talking in our friend group, she usually calls me pastor amongst them. I was able to just look at her like, huh? The pastor, George said this, you know, in our friends group. Okay, those folks are not members of our church, but she will say that in front of them. Do you get it? It's simply honor. Pastor George said this. Yeah, Pastor George is calling you. She'll add pastor to the name. Praise the Lord. Amen. That is simply honor, okay? This person has been equipped by God to bless you. Do you follow that? The sooner you realize this, the better. Okay? Even if that person is your brother, and I've told you, okay, or your husband, okay, or your child, okay, you must respect that office. Hallelujah. Another thing about honor, once you start seeing that person in his humanity, he can't bless you anymore. That's the thing about honor. For the person, for the minister to keep blessing you, you have to keep seeing him in that office. Once you stop seeing him in that office, he won't bless you anymore. That's the thing about honor. So I choose to honor. So I choose to honor. So I choose to honor. Praise the Lord. Okay? You know, honor is also seen in the words that you say about your pastor. Praise the Lord. Okay? How you talk about him. So do not join outsiders to talk evil about your pastor. Is that clear? Okay, you defend him always. You know that is the man that God is using to bless you. Do you know that? Okay, so you defend him always. You know, when we're much younger, there's a story we're told, okay, about the heir and his father. Do you remember that story? You probably do not. Okay, there was famine in the animal kingdom. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the animals came together, the children, and they planned together. They said, let us kill our parents, right, and eat our parents. So the heir, he joined them, they killed their parents, right? Well, he killed his dad. Do you follow that? So they came together, they ate their parents. But where's the heir's dad? They couldn't find him. He joined them to eat their own dad while he kept his own. Then his dad was giving him food. Do you get it? So they just observed, Mr. Heir was getting father. He was enjoying, Do you get it? Because he had kept his father. So that story has a moral, amen. Don't allow others kill your own spiritual father while they honor theirs. That's the point of that, okay? Okay, so honor your spiritual father. You know, there's a man of God I love so much, Pastor Joseph Prince, amen. You don't know Joseph Banks if you don't know Joseph Prince, amen. You do not, because I talk about him, you know, severally. Okay, that man saved my life. You get it? He saved my life literally. Literally. Okay, so I do not joke with him. Amen. I don't joke with him. You know, I have those around me who come around me, you know, for ministry sake, you know, and I have some of them who don't like the man. Amen. There are some of you that he preaches too much grace. Okay, so they don't like him. Well, you know, but interestingly, they never say that when I'm there. Do you get it? They never say. They can't. They don't tell me to my face that they don't like Joseph Prince. They say it at my back. Then I get to hear about it. Because they know you can't say it where I am. I almost want to tear my clothes. Do you get it? He saved my life. I won't be here today. I don't mean that figuratively, metaphorically. I won't be here today teaching, even for that man. I won't. Someone told me that You always say you follow Joseph Prince, you like Joseph Prince, but when I listen to your teachings, you seem to be deeper than Joseph Prince. I just laughed. I said, really? He said, yes, you seem to be very, very deep than Joseph Prince. I said, oh, okay. Then he just observed that his messages couldn't get to me again on WhatsApp. No, you don't get it. Pray about it. You'll get it. Okay, just pray in tongues. And the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. He will text me on WhatsApp. He won't deliver anymore. Amen. Just says, my profile picture is blank. Praise the Lord. On Facebook too, I just disappeared. Praise the Lord. You want to flatter me. The man I'm praying to God to be like, you want to flatter me by telling me I'm better than him. The man I'm learning from, saying you are deeper than him. You think it's flattery. So I just cut, and I'll do it silently. You won't know. Once you say something bad, I'll just do it silently. You won't know. Amen. Honor the vessels that God has used to bless you. Is that clear? Is that clear? Honor them. Praise the Lord. Okay? Now as we close, see 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Are you learning so far? All right, thank you. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. It says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize, underline that, recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly. Underline that, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace amongst yourself. You see that there? Okay, so firstly, recognize your pastors and spiritual leaders. Secondly, esteem them very highly for their work's sake. You know, the pastor sacrifices so much for the saints. Do you know that? So much. Okay, the very least you can give back is honor. Amen? Honor. Do you know what it takes to, you know, study God's word in between school and work just to ensure it blesses you? If you don't think it's a lot, let me tell you, it's a lot. While you're sleeping, it's praying. Come on. While you're sitting on your bed, he has woken up to study. That's the pastor. You know, I've prepared sermon notes with edicts. I've prepared sermon notes. I'm looking at my note like this and I'm almost going like this. I just hit myself. Okay, keep studying. Keep studying. I've done that before. I've preached sick several times. And I've told you, sick. I'll almost be falling. I'll still be teaching. You won't know. I will be cracking jokes. Okay, hours of my day, every day, go into prayers and study just for you. Okay, just to ensure you grow up spiritually. And I'm human. Right? Okay, so the very least you can give back to someone who labors that much is what? Honor. Say this to my pastor. Deserves my honor and respect. Say my pastor deserves my honor and respect. Hallelujah. Okay, so we are instructed to honor our spiritual leaders. Is that clear? Esteem them very highly. Look at 1 Timothy 5 verse 17. 1 Timothy 5 verse 17. It says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. The line that counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Do you understand what this means now? Okay, thank you. And the laborer is worthy of his wages. Now the elders here are the pastors, you know that, right? Or the overseers in the church. Now it says, counted worthy of double honor. That means in the Greek, counted deserving of double salary. Literally in the Greek, counted deserving of double salary. That is, the leaders who rule well are to be compensated. Hallelujah. For their services. Again, it is the pastor's right. It is the saint's responsibility. Say, it is the pastor's right. It is the saint's responsibility. Say, it is the pastor's right. It is the saint's responsibility. Hallelujah. Okay, you see in Matthew chapter 10 there that Jesus sent out the 12 to preach. Okay, and observe his instruction. Let's see that Matthew 10:7. Matthew 10:7. It says, and as you go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. 9 says, now look at this. Provide neither gold nor silver, nor copper. On the line, provide neither gold nor silver, okay? On the line, copper as well. In your money belt, nor bag for your journey. On the line that, bag for your journey, nor two tunics. On the line that, two tunics. or sandals, or neither sandals, staffs, or line staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. You see that there? Underline that, okay? A worker is worthy of his food. Now observe verses 9 and 10. So in going to preach, the preacher is not supposed to take anything. Do you see that there? Those he's going to preach to should provide for his physical needs. That is Bible instruction. You know, if you do that today, you hunger will almost finish you. Right? And if the minister complains, they will say he's greedy. You see what Jesus says there? Don't take any resources. Those you are going to should be responsible for your needs. Come on. You see that there? In Luke chapter 10, when Jesus sends out the 70, he says similarly to them. Let's see that, okay? Luke 10:4. He says, carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the way. You see that there? Those they preach to would be responsible for their feeding. Look at verse 5. It says, whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house, and if there is a son of peace there, your peace will return on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house. Now look at this. Eating and drinking such things as you carry. Huh? As what? They give. Come on. Underline that, okay? As they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do you get it? Don't use him without paying. That's what Jesus is saying there. Okay? Do not go from house to house. Look at 8. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are said before you. Do you see that? Another, okay? Eat such things as are said before you. So what is Jesus saying here? Simple. Ensure that ministers are well taken care of. Praise the Lord. Okay? Ensure that ministers are well taken care of. Now, I've told you that the ministry of helps is proactive, right? Okay? Very proactive. What does that mean? It means that that ministry sees a need and meets it ahead of time. That's what it means to be proactive, okay? So be proactive in meeting the needs of ministers. Think ahead. What did I say? Think ahead. Okay? You know that pastor is coming to preach. Afterward, pastor will be dehydrated. Buy him water. Do you get it? That has been proactive. Come on. Come on. Okay? You know that the weather is very hot today. Okay? As I'm coming to church, I will get an handkerchief, since he will be standing to preach for several hours. Do you get it? So I give it to him for when he's sweating. That is being proactive. Okay? You know that we're having a special meeting. The meeting is going to span for 4 days. And pastor will be preaching throughout. He will stand throughout for several hours to teach. What is, you know, the least you can do? Come together, amen, and get him food every day afterwards. Okay? You plan that before the meeting. That's being proactive. Come on. It's seen in very simple things. Very, very simple things. Okay, you know, we're going to have service on Sunday. Let's get the church on time and set up. Clean the place. Set up the sound. Okay, test the equipment so that service will go smoothly. That is being proactive. Is that clear? That is the ministry of helps. Take initiative. Hallelujah. Okay, you don't have to be told everything. You don't. I remember at Soteria 2018, I think, we're going to have the meeting, okay? And, you know, I put together a team for that meeting. And what happened that day, on the morning of the meeting, we just found out that the venue we're going to use was given to someone else. Think about that. We had printed flyer. Printed flyer, you know, done publicity. And the morning for the meeting, we got there, and then the folks in the venue were telling us that there was a mix-up. So folks were going to have, and we had set up already, okay, in the place, set up our sound. We came the night before the team. They did all of that. Okay, so they found out that morning. So you know what they did? You know, with the wisdom of the Ministry of Health, he didn't tell me. You follow that? He didn't tell me. They quietly, they took the equipment to another venue, set up. Do you get it? Then after everything was done, they told me that, pastor, this is what happened. Okay, but we've got it another place for us to use. Do you follow that? You know, if they had told me that, I would have been disoriented, right? Because I'm going to preach that morning. That is the wisdom of the Ministry of Helps. Do you get it now? Being proactive. So they didn't let me know till much later. Hallelujah. See, I'm proactive in this ministry in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. See, I walk in wisdom. Come on. See, I know what to do at every time and in every situation and in every circumstance. Praise the Lord. Okay. So the saints must mature in this ministry. Do you see that now? Okay, they must mature in this ministry of helping their pastor's ministry. Do you get it? The saints must mature in this ministry of helping their pastor's ministry. So let all your pastor does be pray, study, and administrate. Do you follow that? Let that be all he does. You undo the rest. Is that clear? Undo the rest. The menial tasks, the menial jobs. That is a sensible congregation. This way it won't be weary. Okay, you know, or else you won't have a pastor anymore. Soon. Okay, to bless you. He will die before his time. So remove the load from his shoulders. Is that clear? Okay, see 1 Timothy 3:1 as we close. 1 Timothy 3:1. It says, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. Underline that. He desires a good work. Now, a bishop here is an overseer, a pastor, right? Okay, and Paul calls his office a good work. You see that there? A good work. Some translations say, a noble task. Say, pastoring is a noble task. Okay, so let's not disrespect that office of the pastor. Is that clear? By our lackadaisical attitude toward it. Is that clear? Okay, so honor your pastor. Amen. At the end of everything, we shall receive a reward for helping our pastor's ministry. Look at Hebrews 6:9 as we close. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6:9. He says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love. Underline that. God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name. Look at that. In which you have ministered to the saints. Underline that. You have ministered to the saints and do minister. Underline that. Do minister. And we desire that each one of you should show the same diligence. Underline that. Show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Underline that. Until the end. That you do not become sluggish. Underline that. Do not become sluggish. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hallelujah. Okay. So as those who minister unto others, God doesn't forget your labor of love. Do you see that there? Okay, so a reward awaits you for your diligence to God's work. You see that the Apostle Paul often speaks of the judgment seat of Christ, where our works on the earth will be assessed for rewards. See 2 Corinthians 5:9. 2 Corinthians 5:9, okay? It says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be pleasing to him. 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. On the line from we to Christ, okay? That each one may receive the things done in the body, or you can say a reward, okay? For the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. You see that there? Now, the judgment seat of Christ is not to judge our sins. Is that clear? Our sins have already been judged on the body of Christ. Romans 8, right? 1-3. Let's see that. Romans 8, 1-3. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That is not original. So you can take it out, okay? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, is not original to that text. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Or you can say, he judged sin in the flesh. Now, in the flesh of Jesus. Praise the Lord. You see that there? So our sins have already been judged, right? Condemned in the flesh, the body of Jesus. Okay, so what then is the judgment seat for? Right? What then is it for? Is it to judge our sins? No, it is to judge our works. Do you follow that? So the judgment seat is for believers to receive rewards. Amen? Not punishment. Amen? Rewards for their good deeds on the earth. So think about that. One day you will stand before Jesus. Amen? And you'll give account of all your good deeds and you'll be rewarded for the same. Think about that. So be diligent. Right? Be diligent. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Be diligent. A reward awaits you. Praise the Lord. Okay? So this teaching is to encourage you today. Amen? You know, don't give up in serving fervently. Hallelujah. In the works of others. You know, sometimes, you know, some people can try to make you feel stupid for being a committed church member, right? Right? Am I right to say that? Yes. Have you had people who tell you things like, ah, why are you always sharing your pastor's posts? Amen. Yeah. It says on your social media is all you talk about. Amen. It says his website every day. Ah, you know the tire. Every day it goes on your social media. You starve so that you can give in church. You won't eat so that you can give money in church. Ah, are you the only one who has a pastor? Are you the only one who has a church? Okay? Don't allow anyone talk down on your loyalty to God's man. Hallelujah. Over your life. Is that clear? The Lord sees you and the Lord will reward you. Now, don't even do it for rewards. You know, some people can go overboard, right? Don't even do it for rewards. Just do it out of faithfulness to the Lord. Hallelujah. But know this, that the Lord is watching and the Lord will reward you surely someday. Hallelujah. So this is the ministry of helps. Amen. Okay, this is how we help our pastors ministry. This is how, you know, imagine if we all came together and did everything we've seen so far. You know, the church will thrive, right? You know, the pastor will be less stressed, okay? And things will move on fine. The work, you know, will go on smoothly. Praise the Lord. Okay, so be an helper to your pastor's ministry. Be an helper to your local church. You've been blessed by your church, and it's time for you to also be a blessing toward the same. Hallelujah. Did you learn? All right, lift your hands, give him praise. Thank him.